Fellowship with Holy Spirit is possible. This is a teaching that Holy Spirit wants to lead on communing with Him. So much of the body has been taught that having regard for or interaction, more accurately, with the Holy Spirit is some kind of strange, mystical, bizarre, very unstable activity. And even in that, it can be considered something that is not even real, something that people are making up in their own minds, creating a relationship that doesn't exist. This cannot be the furthest from the truth. If Jesus Christ Himself said He would send another comforter, another advocate, another counselor, depending on your translation, another one, meaning another helper, it means He was the first. And now there is another helper. And Holy Spirit is that other helper. And He is not anything less than God the Father or God the Son. So we need to stop thinking of it as some strange incantation or unreliable attempt to know God. He indwells us. How can we not know Him? Most of us would know this scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is a benediction that Paul gives in the finishing of that letter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now that word communion sometimes is translated as fellowship, but in either way or either case, it means having communication and relationship with God Himself. It even says in the Word that we can only access the Father through the Spirit, because it's His Spirit. We have to get a hold of this to not see Jesus as less than the Creator or the Holy Spirit as less than the Creator. They all, Father, Word, and Spirit, are one. So the magnificence of what Jesus did is far greater when we realize it was the Creator Himself that came from heaven to die on that cross for us. We want to minimize it and say, no, it's the Son of God, so it's less, and it's Jesus, and He was begotten, and He took on a body. It was the Creator. He came from heaven. He created all things. All things were created through Jesus. How could it not be the Creator? And then when He finished His work, He said, "It is finished." When He said that, and He had triumphed over the devil and his dominion on earth, He meant it. And when He returned, resurrected in victory and triumph, in a new body, that they couldn't even recognize. I mean, His disciples didn't recognize Him on the road. So He must have looked quite different than when He left on that cross. And then when He's ready to ascend, He makes it very clear of who is His replacement. And when I say replacement, people get quite touchy about it. I am not saying that the Holy Spirit was nailed to the cross. It was Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is the Creator, as God the Father is the Creator, as the Holy Spirit is the Creator. Without any of them, three in one, we would not have union with God, and we would not have creation. So when Jesus is ready to go, and the disciples are assembled together, it says in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, capital P, promise, of the Father, which He, Jesus, said, "You have heard from Me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Holy Spirit is the promise. He's called the promise in another scripture, that it is through Jesus Christ that the promise may come. We're also called living epistles, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. We are letters written by the Spirit of the living God. If that is true, a letter communicates, does it not? Someone writes a letter to someone that will receive the letter. We are to be received by the world. We are written on by the Spirit. We must be able to commune with Him and communicate with Him. This is not some kind of psychic or metaphysic, strange behavior. We can sit in our own gardens, our own backyards, our own porch swings, wherever we are, by a lake, in a field, in the city even. It's harder because you have a lot of distractions, but it's still possible. And we can commune with the living God who lives in us. And we can hear answers from Him. This is not a strange doctrine. The Holy Ghost spoke to the apostles in Acts all the time. He led them. He directed them. He infused them. He poured out of them. He wasn't something distant or distinct or away from them that maybe one day He'll float into the meeting if we sing well enough. That is not the relationship and communion with Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is indwelling us. We are to be continually filled. But how can we be filled if we're ignoring Him? Each one of us, when we come to faith in Christ, is indwelt by the Spirit, and His presence makes us a temple, the very temple. We're born of the Spirit, it says in John 3:3-6. We're indwelt by the Spirit, and then we are, from that indwelling, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus first returned, He told His disciples, one of their first times that they saw Him again, to receive the Holy Spirit, and He breathed on them. But then He told them to wait for the power to come, for the promise to come. And then in Acts 2:4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances." So there are two distinct things that happen, and we're not even going to get hung up on that. Holy Spirit isn't concerned. What does it mean to be filled with Spirit? What does it mean to be indwelt by the Spirit? What does it mean to, when you first receive, you're converted and you're born again, and then therefore you're sealed with the Spirit as a guarantee of your inheritance? He doesn't want to do that. What He wants you to know is that you can talk to Him as a living person living in you. You can speak the same language as He does. Because His language is love and faith. You do not need to pretend you're somebody you're not. You don't need to try to be very specially educated or theological or full of doctrine and yourself. In fact, that will be a barrier to communion with Holy Spirit. You just need to be you. You need to be you and come as a little child. And say, "I don't understand this. What does it mean I'm crucified with Christ? What does it mean that I'm dead and buried? What does it mean that faith of a mustard seed, and I can move mountains if I had that? How come I don't have that?" That's how honest you can be with the Holy Spirit. No pretense. He never plays games. And when we need pulling back, chastening, He will do so. He will guide us. He will laugh with you. He will laugh at you. But not at your expense, because He is kind. But He will not suffer fools either, or play games. We can see that in Acts. If someone lied to Him, when he was lied to by Ananias and Sapphira, that was finished. There wasn't a second chance. There wasn't, "Oh, well, we should all forgive them, and, you know, they made a mistake, and, oh, well, that's okay, you know, they didn't understand." They were gone. They were finished. The man at the proconsul's advisor, who tried to thwart the spread of the gospel in that area, when the proconsul asked Paul and John to speak about Jesus Christ, he was blinded. It says, Paul, being filled with the Spirit, said, "You will be blind for a time, you son of the devil, for thwarting the truth." This is Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about some namby-pamby, sweet little cutesy God that's going to give us all our goodies when we request it. We're talking about the living God who made heaven and earth. And the fact that we can commune with him is astonishing. Perhaps that's why we deny it or tend to think it's not possible. Also, there's been so much teaching in regards to him that is negative. And there have been others that have attributed almost insane practices and behaviors to the Holy Ghost. And no wonder people run the other way when they hear his name. None of that is him. He is God Almighty, the promise of God, who came to indwell us, came to fill us, came to give us his very power so we could have the fullness of God. Not just at our fingertips so we can do what we want or get our way or stop storms or whatever it is that we think is important, but so that we could have complete union with God. Here on earth, well, we're here. Because without him, there is no union. In Ephesians 2:18, it shows the connection between Father, Son, and Spirit. For through him, this is Jesus Christ, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, to the Father. There is not one of them that can go missing and we can have union and communion with God. They all participate. They all, it's the all in all. They are one. So to deny Holy Spirit is to deny the communion and unity with God the Father. That's the extreme that this has gone to, and why so many people will ask other people to pray for them. And it's not wrong for us to pray for each other. We're told to pray unceasingly. That's not the issue. The issue is that people think they can't have access directly to the Father. Now, Jesus Christ is the mediator, is he not? Between man and God. He finished the work. So there's no more separation. The veil was torn. There's complete union with the Father by one Spirit. Why people feel they don't know who God is, and they might have been a Christian for 25 years, and they're still hoping, well, if I read the Word enough, or if I confess this particular scripture enough, or if I do good things enough, maybe he'll like me. And they don't even know they're deeply, passionately loved, is because they don't know Holy Spirit. Who is what? He is the one that the Father poured his love into our hearts by. It's by the Spirit. He says in Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But how can we know the love of Christ if the one who indwells us, the teacher, the counselor, the one who leads us into all truth and teaches us concerning all things, is completely ignored or denied, or even to the degree that people are frightened of him? I have been, in earlier days when I was a Christian, newer Christian, told and warned not to speak to Holy Spirit, not to commune with him. No, 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 we don't do that. That's glorifying him. Well, the only way we can glorify Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. And when we glorify Jesus, the Holy Spirit's glorified, and so is the Father. When we glorify the Father, so is Holy Spirit and the Son glorified. When we glorify Holy Spirit, so is the Father and the Son. They aren't separate. We need to stop doing that. We need to stop pulling them apart. And that's why we're so pulled apart as a body, because we see ourselves just as separate as we see them. In 1 John 5:6-7, we can read the wonder of what really happened through Jesus Christ and who the Spirit is, as well as the Father and Son. It says, this is he, Jesus, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And in 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And in 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So in 7, it tells us, 1 John 5:7, these three bear witness in heaven, and these three are one. They're one. When you're having communion with Holy Ghost, you are having communion with the Father in heaven and Jesus Christ. It is not a separation. We need to not separate them so that we can know the unity that lives within us. So we can be living epistles written not in ink, but by the Spirit on our hearts, our very hearts. Holy Spirit, and the love that the Father, His love, that He poured out into us through and by the Spirit, is the living God that you can know so intimately, not in some bizarre, I'm going to soak it all up and lay there for 20 hours. No, we are talking real deal, practical issues. You can go to Him and say, I want to buy this house, Holy Ghost, but I have some qualms and some concerns, but I'm really excited and I really, 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 really want to do it, but I need to know what you think. Do you know that He will tell you? He will tell you, you're moving too fast. Or He will say, wait a while. Or He will say, there's something that's not quite right about the one selling. He will give you insight. All you need to do is ask. It is that simple. He can do it for a healing. Do you think He can't do it for a house? If He was sent, as Jesus Christ told us He was sent when He was speaking to the disciples before He was even crucified and said that the Helper would come and would teach them concerning all things, would bring the remembrance all that He had done. And later in 1 John 2:27, it states that He will not only teach us all things, but lead us into all truth, for He is truth Himself. Would we not want to commune with truth? Who else are we going to commune with? Our own thoughts? Our own fears? Satan's devices? What somebody said online, what somebody said in a teaching, what someone told us 20 years ago in Sunday school? Or do we want to commune with the living God who has all answers and knows all things and will never, ever lie to you? It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for Holy Spirit to tell you something that isn't true. Now, sometimes we will reject His truth, but that's our choice. He will always give it to you. And when it says that our spirit witnesses with His Spirit that we are sons of God, that witnessing is an experience. It seems that people are terrified of experience, the Holy Spirit, as if He, again, is some kind of bizarre, mystical, strange experience, when it's none of that at all. He indwell, our spirit and His are in union. So if you're not communing with Him, you're not communing with yourself either, the new self, the new creation that was made through Jesus Christ by your faith that justifies you now through the grace that He gave. You're cutting yourself off from yourself. We are new creatures, new creations. No wonder so many Christians, and I myself also experienced this for years as a Christian, until I started communing with Holy Spirit and asking Him, who are you? What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean that my sins are covered in the blood of Jesus? What does it really mean? Not me saying words, not me listening to someone teaching or preaching about it, not me hearing some kind of theological debate. No, I want to know it. When He says in Ephesians to know the love of Christ, that know is experiential. We are to know God experientially and not be afraid of it and not think it's something beneath us or something unattainable, because Jesus Christ made it attainable. Let's give Him His due. He bled for this, for unity with God. He bled for us to have union with the Father by the Spirit. We have access in one Spirit to the Father. Access in one Spirit to the Father in Ephesians 2:16 to 18, it says. What does that mean? Access to the Father through Christ. They're all three included in this. It's not Jesus and Father only. Through Christ and in the Spirit, we have access to God the Father. They are working in complete unity. That was always the plan. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What does it mean? He's now seated in heavenly places. And yes, we are seated there with Him. But He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are still here on earth living. What did He mean? Who lives in us? The indwelling Spirit of God Himself. Holy Spirit, and unity and communion and fellowship with Him has been hidden for long enough. It's time to come out of the closet and say it's okay to speak to the Holy Spirit, who is God Almighty indwelling you, to have unity with Him, communion with Him, discussions with Him, dialogues with Him, to learn from Him, to be taught by Him, and to have access to the Father by Him, and to stop trying to cut Him out of the equation. That is why not only do Christians feel like orphans, but they feel completely lost and really don't have direction, because who's to lead us? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, well, we're not sons. It's as simple as that. Let us be led by the one who was sent, by Jesus Christ our Savior, to lead us into all truth, to teach us concerning all things, and to reveal to us the reconciliation that we have with God. For through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And what does Paul tell us? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Let's see Him for who He really is, and let's allow Him to be God Almighty in us. He wants to be known as much as we want to be known. And when Jesus said that many will come to Him saying, Lord, Lord, look at all the things I did for you, prophesied, mighty works, wonders, miracles. And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. That is the same knowing, the same word in Greek, meaning experientially. Let's let Him be known. And let's let ourselves be known by Him. In Jesus' name, amen.